It's so great to see so many smiling faces this morning. It's just wonderful. The sun is shining outside. It's such a happy day. The passage this morning that I just wanted to take a quick look at, and part of the reason for it being a quick look is because of the time, is going to be Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, maybe 19, 20, and 21. But before we get there, I want to read a couple of verses in the book of Romans that I think we would have to agree are going to be closely related to the idea that's going to be presented when we look at the Galatians passage, okay? So you understand Galatians 2:20 is really going to be the heart of the message, but I want to read first one verse in Romans chapter 7, verse 4. And if you can't really multitask and have fingers in different places in the Bible, that's okay. Just stay in Galatians, and I'm going to read first Romans 7, 4, that says this. It always comes in as a therefore. So something preceded this, which connected to the therefore, of course. But Romans 7, 4 says, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Okay, that's Romans 7, 4. And then there's another verse just in my Bible across the page, which is Romans 8, 4. And it says, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's that verse, but I wanted to now flesh that out a little bit more, so I'm going to go up, start reading at verse 3, and I'm going to put that verse 4 as a sandwich between a couple of verses. Verse 3 of Romans 8, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Okay, so now we're going to look at the Galatians passage, okay? Little context also before we are reading that passage. Galatians is a very interesting book. We also know that we are reminded that, there had been folks that were coming into the church in Galatia, and they were trying to really put a yoke of legalism on some of these believers. In other words, this yoke of bondage was saying, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and he paid the price for your sin. But really, to be saved, you have to keep the works of the law. You know, you have to do that too. You know, that's very, very important. And, have to be baptized in order to be saved. And, to the Gentiles, you should be circumcised if you're a male. And, keeping the law, you have to do that. Otherwise, you're not really saved. Well, if you have to add anything to what the Lord Jesus Christ did, and we know that we are saved by his grace, he did it all. So if you're adding anything to grace, it's no longer grace. In fact, if you're counting on really demonstrating that you belong to Christ by keeping any of the elements of the law, well, you're not saved. Because if that is a condition of your salvation, then how are you supposed to keep the law? You know, the Judaizers, in fact, people who love the law, would say that you have to keep that law not just a little bit, you have to keep it perfectly. Who can do that perfectly? So if Christ has died for your sin and my sin, and we just say, well, okay, he paid the price for our sin, but to really be saved, you have to keep works of the law, then you're going to have to keep those works of the law perfectly. You can't do that. It's impossible. It's impossible. Not even King David, the man after God's own heart. You know, like, not even Lorne McLeod. That's right. None of us, you know, like, could do that. And yet, you know, like, now to put Galatians in the proper context, you know, we think of Paul, and just for a moment, think of this man. Before he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, did he not call himself in another place, when he is looking back at his life, he was a Jew of the Jews. I mean, he wanted to excel in the law. Paul did not, before his conversion, he did not see Jesus Christ as being the Jewish Messiah. He did not see Jesus Christ as being, you know, like God in the flesh who could pay the price, you know, like for sin. You know, like he was the classic Pharisaical Judaizer. How are people saved? By keeping the law. And by keeping the law perfectly. And there are also Christian Judaizers in the church. In the early days of the church, there were Christian Judaizers, and we would read about them in a book, you know, even in Galatians chapter 2, when you have time and you take a look to have the setting or the proper context of what's happening. You know, you see different men who come into the church in Galatia and they have some false teaching. You know, but hold on to your socks for a minute. Some of these people also who were starting to compromise and waffle were Peter. And even Barnabas was getting snookered into the idea that you have to live a certain way. Peter, you know, like we would read here, and we would also get the idea of some of his practices in the book of Acts. Well, he is a Jew. He is saved. You know, like we heard about Peter even this morning in the Lord's Supper. You know, like you had a thought from First and Second Peter. Well, you know, what was he doing? As a Jew who was close to the Lord, and heard the teaching and saw what was going on and was there at the time of the cross, well, as a Jew, he starts rubbing shoulders with the Gentiles and he's having a grand old time with them until some Judaizers start coming into the meeting. And now Peter says, well, I can't eat with these guys anymore because what will these Judaizers think? Because some of these men that I'm rubbing shoulders with, well, they're not keeping the law. They're not circumcised. In fact, the idea was to really be a Gentile who truly is saved, you have to become kind of like a Jew. You know, like, is that grace? No, it's not grace. You know, whenever you start adding and tacking on how you have to live, in order to be saved, well, you've added to grace. And when you add to grace, it's no longer grace. You know, like you're saying, you know, I want to live according to the law now. So if you want to put yourself under law, well, it's not just a little law. You have to live by the law. And if that is going to be how you claim that you are saved or justified or sanctified, you really are in deep weeds, because it does nothing for you. The idea that you also need to understand is, because of what Christ has done for you and for me, you know, like, we have tremendous blessings in Christ. One of the blessings that we have because of his sacrifice is we are justified. We have justification because he paid that price. What is justification? Justification is this: we have been declared to be righteous. We know we are sinners. You know, we all know that. Well, God looks at us and he declares, you're fine. You're justified. I don't see sin in you anymore. Positionally, we have that justification. Justification is not given to us because we have kept the law. Justification is a work that Christ has done for us by his grace. Another element of joyous blessings that we have in Christ is we are also considered positionally to be perfectly holy. You know, in another place in Scripture, it'll say that we have Christ's righteousnesses. So we are found to be holy in Christ, positionally, perfectly sanctified. So then we say, well, okay, that is really nice, but you know something? The problem is, I'm saved by faith, I am justified, and I am sanctified, but I still sin. How does that work? Well, you know, there is practical sanctification, you know, like, where if we live our life not to be law keepers, but if we, I am getting to this verse, chapter 2, verse 20, but if we live our life, if we have Christ live his life through us, you know, like, our practical sanctification, you know, like, is getting closer and closer to when we are going to be in glory with him. And we'll just kind of like see how our positional sanctification, it takes over, you know, like, but while we are obedient to Christ and letting his life flow through us and live through us, you know, like, we seem to, I hate to use words like, well, we seem to do this, or we're getting a little closer. Well, that's how we look at our life as really being fulfilled in Christ. You know, the day that I trusted the Lord, all of my sins were paid for in full. But there were some very bad, sinful habits that I still had. And, you know, I'd be convicted, maybe a couple of months later, maybe I should get rid of this. I got to get rid of some of these. Well, I'm not going to tell you all they are. You can imagine some of the things I might have had to get rid of. But as I come under conviction by reading God's word, by being in fellowship, I was not putting on a yoke of legalism, but I knew that I had not really surrendered all of myself to the obedience of Christ. Fully saved, positionally justified, positionally sanctified, but still, God was doing a work in my heart. And you know something? He still is doing a work in my heart. I'm not walking the perfect, holy, sanctified life today. Positionally, I'm fine in Christ. And I certainly hope that you and me, as we are walking, that we are letting others see that we belong to Christ. And when we belong to Christ, and we live for Him, we make those around us get a good picture of what the invisible Christ is all about. If I try to represent Christ in my own flesh and by my own efforts, if that's what I really try to do, I fail. But if I have submitted myself to Christ alone, and I want His life to flow through me, it's His life, not Longstreet's life, not James's life, or Debbie's life, or Stephen's life. You want to see Christ's life coming through. That's what's important. Now let's look what verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2 says. It says, now this is Paul speaking. And so I would say that Paul, who had been the Judaizer, now is saying, this is how it works for me. And I think he is a very good example of what he's saying in this verse that we can apply to our own life. He says, I have been crucified in Christ. You have been crucified in Christ as well. What a horrible death. But it reminds us that we have died with Christ because we belong to Him. There is a very special relationship that we have. Do we understand that we have that relationship? So Paul says, relationship-wise, that he has been crucified with Christ and so have you. And then it says, nevertheless, I live. He's been crucified. That's a death, but he lives. Yet, he says, it's not I. The old sinful person has died. Remember, we're justified. We are sanctified. We are saved by flesh. Not by flesh, by faith, right? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But then it says, and this is very, very important, but Christ lives in me. Well, how much of Christ lives in you? And I would ask myself that question, how much of Christ lives in me? Is it just a little bit of Christ? Just a little, do we have a little snippet, of Him? I would propose that phrase, but Christ lives in me, when you have Christ, you have all of Him. When you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, how much of the Holy Spirit do you have, Tom? All of it. We get all of Him. The choice and the thing that we struggle with, particularly with sin in our life, and this is going to plague us until we are home in glory someday, is we always have daily choices to make. Someone said, you have to apply 220 volts, V-O-L-T-S, to your life every day. That's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in my flesh, or the life that you live each day in your flesh. You live by faith in the Son of God who loved, he says, me, but we would all say, that's me we're talking about, and gave himself for me. That's the importance of this. It takes the wind out of the sails of those that are Judaizers and great legalists in the body of Christ. People come on up and say, this is how you have to live your life. This one has strayed, looks like he's strayed from the faith. He's living in sin. So we make a judgment. Well, if he did this or that and stuff like that, well, then we would know for sure that that one is a believer in Christ. So are we saddling people and we're making judgments based on legalism and the law? Do we look at ourselves and we refuse to ask ourselves the question, you know, like, are we allowing Christ's life to flow through us each day? Have you been crucified with Christ? And nevertheless, you're living? You know, we are not a zombie, and I hate science fiction type stuff, but there are some places in the world where they believe in zombies. And zombies are like the walking dead, and they are under satanic control. They are. You know, like they aren't, you know, and they walk weird and they do horrible things. You know, like they are the living dead. Well, we have died to Christ, but we don't stay, you know, like, because we have new life flowing through us in Christ Jesus. We are not zombies for Christ. Horrible illustration, and I'm sorry I even mentioned it right now. I will slap myself later. But but remember that our old self has died, but there has been a little switch. Christ has given to us his life. We have eternal life in Christ. He has given to us himself. The verse says that. We know we are sealed with his Holy Spirit. He does not want me or you to just live our fleshly life. He wants his life to flow through us. And when we are controlled by his life that has been poured out lavishly, you know, like to us, that makes quite a difference. It makes a difference in how we carry ourselves. It makes a difference in the things we think about, the words that we say, the things that we do. And that is what the world, our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members really need to see. If I am just living my life, my fleshly life, trying to do good things under the banner of Jesus Christ, it's not going to look very good, because it's too much of me. But if I really live my life as a crucified individual who now is full of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I allow his life, it's his life, to come through in the things I think about, do, and say, I am now putting on display Jesus Christ to others. They get a better look at who he is and what that new life and the good news is all about. I would just suggest that you meditate on Galatians 2:20. Why don't you also, maybe for the next week, each day, take a look at that verse and just apply it. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in my flesh, I live by the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I thank you, Father, this morning that we realize that you have given to us such a wonderful opportunity and such a wonderful life in Christ Jesus. We are his ambassadors. We are his light, as we understand in other places in Scripture. We fail if we try to just go about living each day in our own strength. How can we really let other people see Christ in us if we don't allow his life and himself to flow through us? Help us in this regard. Let us learn to be a blessing to others. We commit ourselves in his most precious and glorious name. Amen.